All right, turn to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. Nate is going to read Joshua 5, 13 through 15. Brian, Mitchell, Matthew, Joshua 5, 13. And Colby, Matthew 16, 22. Where are we at? Casey, read Mark 1:17. Gabe, Joshua 5:14. JW, Luke 22:42. And Dwayne, Joshua 5:14, which would probably be second time probably. Okay, the text that we're going to read is Joshua. He's at the edge of the promised land and he's about to enter his destiny. Remember what God had told them 40 years previously is that I have a land for you. I have planned that you enter the land of Canaan. Of course, we call this the promised land. So I'm using this as a picture of destiny. When God has a plan for our life, what is it that helps us to enter destiny? And so that's what this scripture is going to tell us. I'm going to minister on entering destiny, which is Joshua 5, 13 through 15.
And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And so he said, "No, but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so.
Okay, entering destiny. Let's look first of all at choosing sides. And in this text, it shows us a mistaken approach to serving God. Joshua is in charge, right? He's in charge of all of the people. And so when he meets someone out in the wilderness, this is unexpected. When he meets him, of course, he approaches this as, "I'm in charge." That is his approach because, of course, that's how he had been and that's how he was operating his life is, "I am in charge." But what he doesn't understand is he's meeting with God, right? So he comes with the mindset, "I'm in charge. What are you here for? What's going on? You with us? You against us?" That is his whole mentality. But when you're meeting God, everything changes, right? So Joshua is making plans in life without God. And that is that's a mistake. That's what we can do as men, is we can make plans for our entire lives. We can make plans, what am I going to do with my time, my money, what career path, education, business, you know, a thousand other things. Without, honestly, many people, they do this without ever really asking God at all. Because their approach in life, I've had people that come, you know, "What do you think about, you know, move to Timbuktu?" And, you know, wait, have you asked God? And it almost is like, oh, it never occurred to them because they're approaching life like Joshua here is, "I make the plans of life. I'm in charge." And that, of course, is not the true of your facing God. So when meeting God, and he doesn't get it at first, is his attitude towards God is, "God, your job is to help me with my plans." Verse 13.
And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or are you our adversaries?"
Okay, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? So, if you're here, and again, he doesn't get this is God, your job, if you're going to be here, you have to help me with what I have already planned. And if you haven't, then clearly you're the enemy. And this is how people often, even they approach serving God. They like God, they're glad they're not going to hell. But why is God in your life? To bless what you have already planned to do. Matthew 16:22.
Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you."
Okay, this is Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who tells him, this is what's going to happen, Peter. And then Peter's like, no. Listen, God, let me tell you what a bad idea that is. Clearly, you don't understand. If you do that, that goes against everything I have planned for my life. So, no. But this is true. There are people, they're deep down, there will be people attending service this morning who, let's worship God, lift our hands, but in actual fact, they're mad at God because you didn't bless my plans. You're not blessing my plans. I had it all planned out. What should happen by now? It's not happening, so not fair. I don't like serving you because you're not doing. Listen, if you approach God with the idea of, I know best and your job is to bless what I know best, then that's very frustrating. So when God meets with him, God is not bringing donuts. He's holding a sword. Because that's God. He's saying, listen, if you're going to do your will, God says, then we're going to fight. It's not good to fight God. You have to understand this. So God will actually fight your plans sometimes. Like, they're good plans. They're not evil. It's not like, you know, 10 o'clock we rob a bank, 11 o'clock we deal drugs. No, it's like, I got good plans. I get rich and I'm happy and everybody likes me. They're not bad plans. But God says, but if they're not my plans, then they are destructive. So it may be that God says, I'll fight you. It's destructive because it destroys our purpose. They're going in the promised land. That was the plans of God. So if you're doing what you want, it may be that it's destroying God's plans. So God says, no, then I'll fight that. Because I have plans for you. It destroys other people's lives and other people's souls. See, in life, I have no idea everything, where you'll wind up in life and everything that God will want you to do. But I do know this, at some point in life, there are people that God has planned, not just, you know, get someone saved. Right now, God knows the names of people that he has planned. You are to get them saved, and nobody else will. I am thinking people that I have met from when I was a disciple that I led to the Lord, or people when we pioneered in different places. And I have asked them in later years, look, you were open at that time when we came, or when I witnessed to you, or whatever. Do you think if we had come 5 years later, do you think you would have been open? Probably not. It was at that moment in time. So that begs the question, what if we weren't there? God had planned for Lisa and I to be in Launceston, Tasmania, Johannesburg, South Africa. And what if we didn't? So that is why God says, if you are determining the course of your life, he says, I'm going to fight that. Because other people will pay if you don't do the will of God. God fights us through dissatisfaction. Right? There are people that come to this conclusion. You know what? I was doing this. Everything was great. I was making lots of money. I did this. And I was rising to the top. And then I thought to myself, what am I doing? This is not what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, where did that come from? That means sometimes God won't let you be happy. I know some people think God's job is to make you happy. But sometimes God says, no, I won't let you be happy if what you're doing is not my will. Sometimes it's trouble. This is going wrong, and that's going wrong, and this is going wrong, and that's going wrong. It's like, so what's the message? And I understand sometimes there are seasons, and even doing right, there are problems. But sometimes it's like, and the Lord sent the wind to Jonah, right? The storm from the Lord. Why? So Jonah would be in the belly of the whale thinking, maybe I should do the will of God, right? So that's choosing sides. Let's talk secondly about meeting with God. In this text, what's important is that God shows up and he meets with Joshua. This is not in a crowd. This is not general principles of, you know, Joshua, let's talk about righteousness in general. Or no. He has a personal meeting. He has a personal conversation with God. Do you know what? The desperate need of every human being is to have a personal meeting with God. That is the most important thing that you can do, is to hear from God and to face his will for your life. Now, how God does that, that's his business. I've had God meet with me in prayer, which is why you should pray. Right? We talked about that a few weeks ago, is that the point of prayer is not how much changed today when I prayed. Part of it is, are you in position so you can hear from God? So I've had God talk to me in prayer, life-changing. God spoke to me about his will, reading the Bible. I've had times reading the Bible where it came alive. I didn't get a sermon for somebody else. It's like, that's me. That's convicting. I should be changing, doing that, not doing this, whatever. I've had in a sermon, God speaking. You ever have that? Everybody else, y'all can go home. This is just for me. There isn't any point you being here. Why don't you come just sit right here next to me? Just tell me, because this sermon is absolutely for me. I've had God speak to me while driving. I've done a lot of driving in my life, and I've had God speak to me while driving whatever. It doesn't matter where. You need to have a conversation with God. You need to have a meeting with God. Many of those meetings were about calling and purpose. Mark 1:17.
Then Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men.
Okay. Follow me, I will make you become fishers of men. This, of course, is life purpose. What he was saying to them in this case was, your entire life you're supposed to be doing something else. Life purpose. That is what we say, that's calling. The word calling means to call as invitation to a purpose. Invitation to a job or a task. But not everybody's called to preach. So it doesn't have to be life calling. It may be that some of those meetings with God may just be that God has a plan for you that is different than your plan. It may be that simple. And so people need to have it. So this, of course, is why I'm ministering this the day before conference begins, because that is actually the purpose of conference. Some of your friends are here this morning. They're out preaching. Isn't it great? You get to see them. You get to fellowship this week. But that's not why we have conference. We get donuts this week. I don't know if you know this. That's not why we have conference. Right? There's going to be a lot of things that happen this week. The real purpose of conference is an atmosphere created where you can meet with God. There'll be a spirit where you can meet with God. There will be, and it's unique. Conference is different than other services. You're going to hear messages this week. You're going to hear preaching, and they're going to be just for you. I know there'll be 2,000 other people saying, it's just for me, but it's just for you. God will be saying something to you. And so That is the point. You have to meet with God. Finally, final thought then is taking off your shoes. In this scripture, God makes clear that He is in charge of our lives. Verse 14.
So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?"
Okay, so God makes clear to Joshua, again, his attitude is, "I'm in charge. If you're here, you're going to bless my will." And God says, "No, let me make clear, as commander of the army of the Lord, that's why I have come." So now Joshua gets, this is God. I'm God. You're not. And commander of the army. So in this case, he's saying, Joshua, I determined the battle plan of your life. Joshua was in charge of the troops. He had led them. They go into battle. Okay, you go here, and then you attack. You wait in reserve. But God says, no, I'm the commander. I determined the battle plan of your life. I have rights over your life. The commander is the one who can say. He can make choices in your life about family, about money, about placement, about a lot of things. This is God's will. He can do that. So our text says destiny comes through surrender. Did I give verse 15 to somebody? Do you have it there? Anybody have it? No? Okay. Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. So you're out, you bump into a guy in the desert, and the guy says, "Take your shoes off." Right? Okay. Right? It's a little odd. And of course, there's all kinds of things here. So he does it. He takes his sandals off. And for us, he takes his shoes off. So he's saying, "I surrender to your plans." Why do I take my shoes off? Because you said so. I don't know why that's a great plan, but if you say so, I do it. Strategies. That's you. Right after this, God's going to tell him how. God determines strategies in life. Timing. When does this happen in my life? That's up to God. Risk. If you are on the edge of land where people want to kill you, taking your shoes off is not a good idea. That's risky, especially if you got tender feet like me. I never go barefoot, hardly even in the house. And so this is risky, but he does it. Luke 22, 42.
"Saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done."
Okay, that's Jesus Christ is modeling this. The will of God, when it is revealed, has to be surrendered to. That's all there is to it. When God shows you what he wants you to do, you can either fight it, which means then he'll fight you, or you can surrender. Every person who has ever been used by God has points in their life, and not just one, points in their life when they will tell you they surrendered to God. Abraham, it was Isaac. "Are you willing to lay your son Isaac, your dream, on the altar?" Elisha surrendered to God's will in leaving the family business. The apostles, all of them had to surrender. Matthew leaves his job. Andrew, Peter, the boys, they left the family business, their careers. Ask any pastor, ask any missionary. There'll be points in time in which God showed his will. Some of them may have done that eagerly from the opening moment. Some of them may have wrestled and not been happy about it and finally did it. I don't care. At some point, God spoke his will. So, everything that God is going to do in your life is released by surrender. So what we see immediately, he takes his shoes off. So now God says, okay, Jericho, this city's got huge thick walls. Let me tell you how you can win. Because that's what you want. Instead of, God, I got a plan, you bless my plan, God says, no. If you'll surrender to me, I'll give you the plan that will be blessed. It's a dumb plan. Walk around, keep your mouth shut. Walk around seven times, and the seventh time, everybody shout. Has that ever worked for you? Try that with your bills. Put the bills on the dining table. Walk around and go, ah! It's still there. But when God says it, it works. But only. So that's direction. There are times I've wrestled. God brought direction. I am here because a few weeks after I had a major wrestling with God about whether I am willing to go to another country again that I didn't want to go to, but when I said, God, okay, I will, and God said, no, that's not where I want you. And a few weeks later, God revealed his will was for me to be here. So, but what if I hadn't done that? Would that have still been God's plan? So, every person here, you have to come to the point, the same point, you have to ask the same question that Joshua asked. That's found in verse 14, Gabe.
So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth in worship and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant?
What does my Lord, the one in charge, what do you say? And I'm the servant. I'm not the boss. What do you say? So, this is, of course, I always bring men to face-to-face with this before conference. Have you genuinely asked God this question? What is your will for my life? And, of course, asking the question with a willingness to take his answer, right? What is your will? First of all, right now. Right now, am I doing what you're supposed, what I'm supposed to be doing? I don't know whether that's in ministry or working with people or whatever, right? I'm not talking 20 years from now. Right now, are you doing God's will? You know, in 20 years, I don't care about 20 years. Right now, are you doing God's will? And have you asked God, am I supposed to be doing this? I have, you know, in my own life, I would ask this question when I come into conference. God, I don't want to assume. I'm doing the will of God right now, but I don't want to assume that I'm supposed to keep doing this. So, right now, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? But then, have you asked God this question? Ultimately, what is your will for my life? Because that is a question that you have to ask God, because he has the right to determine that. I know what you'd like to happen, or maybe what you have currently planned. What does my Lord say to my servant? So, we're coming into conference week. So this conference week, are you coming into conference with an attitude that says, what do you want to say to me this week? Because conference is totally different. I know you'll be glad to enjoy fellowship and you'll eat donuts and we'll have a good time and we'll hear reports. That'd be great. But the real point of conference is, God, this week, what do you want to say to me? Let's bow our heads for a minute. And I'm going to ask God to speak, because this is what has to happen this week. God, right now, I am asking, there are men here. You have plans for their lives, Lord God. You have plans for us. You have plans for me. You have plans for this church and our fellowship this week. God, we have to hear from heaven. God, first of all, I don't want to assume I'm asking that you're going to speak to me, but there are men here. God, you have got to make your will plain. Don't let this just be a series of meetings. I am asking that in the prayer meetings this week, I'm asking in the services, in every sermon, in every offering, in every altar call, I am asking, God, there are men here that you have planned for them to preach the gospel. God, calling is not my job, it's yours. Holy Spirit, I am asking you to touch these men supernaturally. Show them your will for their lives. Those who are called to preach, reveal it and help us have hearts to respond. God, there are people here, even if they're not called, there are things you want them to do. God, if there is something that we should be doing that we're not currently doing, please show us. Because more than anything else in this world, God, we want to hear from you. And I'm asking, Holy Spirit, we give the services today and we give this conference into your hands. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, I'm going to open for some questions. Something you want to ask about this. Yep.
You said earlier that God can sometimes cause trouble to come into your life to show you that you're going against what he has for you. Mm-hmm. How do you determine whether it's actually something spiritual going on in your life or whether it's God trying to?
Well, you ask. You know, God, is there something you want to show me? And the most obvious is with an honest heart, you know, two things. Number one, the point in trouble for Jonah was he was in disobedience. So that's not like a mysterious thing. It's not like a hidden thing. Trouble is usually not, you know, in most instances is pretty overt what we're doing wrong. So issue number one is trouble's coming in my life. Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? You know what? That should stop. That's partly that sometimes is an easy thing. Secondly is to ask God, is there a message here that you're trying to tell me? What are you trying to show me in this? What is the message? So that may be and that God, if this is from you, help me to learn the message so we can stop this, right? And for Job, then the storm stopped. So I totally understand that you can be totally in the will of God. There are assaults from hell that are coming. That's from the devil. So immediate, am I in disobedience? Secondly, what is the message? And even if it's from hell, the message may be that you're, you know, learning faith or perseverance or whatever. So God can speak. And part of what trouble does is it forces us, I absolutely have to hear from God to get through this, right? Yeah. Somebody else?
Pastor, when you were in South Africa, before you came here, I think it was Turkey, you were talking about, mm-hmm. Were you feeling like just uncomfortable, or what led to that?
Yeah, number one is that Lisa and I were feeling like our task had come to an end. That didn't mean the job was done, but we just felt like, yeah, it's our time here is coming to an end. But we had no direction. It wasn't like the Lord said, go here or there. So we actually just started thinking. I looked. When God is dealing and you don't have direction, then you start using common sense. Is it another country? I started investigating Madagascar, looking, and I just didn't feel it. I didn't feel any release in my spirit. So therefore, we said, we kind of just decided amongst ourselves, where is a need? Where's a, you know, could we be used? And so we settled on, we'll go to Miami, not because I had a, you know, burning passion for Miami or whatever, just that was a logical area. And so we had just kind of basically settled that if Pastor Mitchell said that he agreed, then we would do that. But then in the middle of that, then God interrupted and supernaturally brought the circumstances of Turkey, which was absolutely not on my radar, nor did I have any interest at all. I would have much rather gone to Madagascar, a poverty-ridden African nation, than a Muslim nation. That's personal preference. Except for the food would have been better in Turkey, that was all. But So I've had God, you know, Nate, in the times that I had God speak to me, if I give you just, here's a couple of timelines, I had God speak to me, first of all, drop out of the blue that I was called to preach, which was a total shock to me. No clue about that. Then, of course, pioneering is obvious. We're heading for that, and that wasn't the voice of God. That was logic, common sense. The first time after pioneering, I just began to feel unsettled, and I had never experienced that before. It's like, what's? And finally, when I called my pastor, look, this is great. I love it here, but and God's helping us. I just feel unsettled, and he said, I've been praying for 3 months for you to call me. And I need you to go somewhere else. That was the second time. Then the next time after that, it was trouble. Everything was falling apart, and it was one of those questions. Nigel's like, maybe there's some things that need a change in me. And so I made a move out of that. And then through kind of a too long to explain, I wound up back in Australia. God led me I had to take over a church because it had fallen on hard times. We were going to pioneer, but then they said, look, we need you to take this church instead. South Africa was out of the blue. I'm like, happy, the church is going good. I've only been there 5 months, and God told me, I want you to go to South Africa, which we did when it was God's timing. And then in South Africa was just an uneasiness. And then the surrender moment, if you want me to go to Turkey, I will. I don't want to, but I will. And then God led me here. So that kind of gives you different. Each time is different. You don't hear from God the same every time, which is that's God's business. My job is to be open, whatever he says. And anytime he speaks, you got to say yes or he won't talk again. That's the key.
You said that within 5 months, God spoke to you to go to South Africa, and you went in God's timing. How did you determine, did you guys leave right away? Or did you?
No.
How did you determine when it was actually, you knew what God wanted you to do, how did you determine when he wanted you to do it?
It's quite complicated because it involved rebellion, turmoil, and troubles. But the bottom line was, in this case, God gives you, if you have a good wife. When I told God spoke, it was almost an audible, that's the clearest God has ever spoken to me. And told me to go to South Africa. I went and told Lisa, and she said, okay. I mean, she's followed me all over the world. She said, okay, but I don't think that's now. So I said, okay, that makes sense. And I just filed it away. And so that was at the 5 month mark. We wound up leaving at the 2 year mark. And that was incredible turmoil. There was rebellion and problems that were going on in Australia. And so I discussed it with Pastor Mitchell, is that God had told me to go to South Africa. There's turmoil here. This guy needs a place to go. How about he take my place and I can go to South Africa? So it became clear at that point in time. But that became clear with a pastor. That's the key.
So when it comes to determining your calling, is this something that you would say is something that's honed over time? Because I feel like there's been times when God has spoken so clearly, and then like it's almost like, because that's a reference point, it's almost like I'm expecting something as clear as that, like you will go.
Yeah.
So is this something that you hone over time?
Well,
prayer.
But that you hone over time always. It's not just calling. You have to obey God in everything, because everything builds up that you two things. One is you learn sensitivity, right? So when I am here in Prescott praying for the sick, and Richard Hernandez said he dropped a metal cast on his foot, wanted me to pray for his foot, and God told me step on his injured foot. But it's actually bigger than, so I did and he got healed, but it's actually bigger than his healing. Is I'm learning that was the voice of God. Very first time, word of knowledge, as we were talking about that yesterday at breakfast, that the very first time that I heard God like that for healing was I did a revival here, and I just thought dropped into my mind, and I said it out loud. I risked, and I still remember Scott Dejean had a back injury, and I described what he was going through, and he came. But it was, again, bigger than that. I learned that's God. Witness to that person, you know, there was something super, man, they were, you know, that was the incredible timing. Go here, preach. So then those things build up. That is the sensitivity part. That's why you always should do what God tells you to do, because you're building up that sensitivity. But the second thing, the Bible principle is, to him who has, more shall be given. To him who has not, be taken away even what he has. And has not has to do with doing what God says. So if you do what God says, he'll give you more. The moment you say no, revelation stops. He won't talk to you anymore because you're not doing what he says. Right? It's very, very important that you do what God says. So both of those, it's obedience unlocks, obedience makes you sensitive. Then you learn that God speaks in different ways. So you will have people this week who are going to either pioneer, go overseas, take a church, move into a new ministry. All of them that came by different ways. Some of those, God has been dealing with me. I need it. Okay, we'll do that. Some of them, I spoke to them. I need you. What? But that's God. God spoke to me. So trust me. Okay, I will. Right? That also is valid. You don't have to have, you know. Oh, yes, Lord. The angel. The light was shining right there on the scripture. Oh, I think that's God. So, you know, one time have I heard the voice of God like crystal clear, go to South Africa. Then calling to preach for me was very clear. Other times it was impression, it was trouble, it was unease, you know, there's a lot of different ways that God speaks. But if your default is yes, then you'll find God will get there in the end. That's the key. You don't have to have a go to South Africa moment. Is you'll get there in the end. We kind of limp, you know, I've had that as a, I'm not sure. Whoa, that was God. Because if your default is yes, so that's a key. Somebody else.
Pastor, you mentioned that people can get frustrated with the will of God or that God didn't answer their plans and mm-hmm. go along. And so you said there's going to be people here this morning that are mad at God for not answering or going through their plans.
Yeah.
How do you handle when that anger towards God gets projected on you as a pastor? And how do you help that person navigate?
Well, yeah, ultimately I can't, at the end of the day, Angel, everything happens by revelation. I can't talk people. You're talking about deep emotional, deep supernatural issues. So if flesh and blood is revealing, it's not going to work, right? So that is, you're talking about such deep issues that people deal with in life. Let's take a practical. So, guys who come back for redirection. So this is one of the fascinating things to me in life is that generally when you send a guy out, he's one of the best guys that you have. They pray, they're working with people, they're involved in ministry. But it's very common guys come back and then they spin out, they don't pray, they never witness. It's like, why? Those are deep issues, but I can't talk people out of that. They got to meet with God and work that out for themselves. And so, yeah, I got people there. They're mad at me. There'll be people at conference who will come hating Pastor Greg. Me? Can you mention that? because most of us, they're like, God, you suck. They don't do that, but it becomes easier to say, you suck, Pastor Greg, because if you had, then I would, that's just human nature. So, in one sense, Angel, that's never fun. I don't enjoy knowing that people are unhappy with me or don't like me. I'm not a masochist. It's like, oh yes, call me names. So I don't enjoy that. But at the end of the day, that is also part of leadership. I think I've talked with the guys here numbers of times. Is that when you do the will of God, when you any level of leadership means that there'll be people unhappy with you. So you just have to accept that as part of the cost. So if I have to discipline and put out your child, that won't make you happy and you'll think evil thoughts of me, but it just has to be done. Okay? If I won't let you do that and I step in, or I have to discipline you and in a church or whatever, and you're thinking evil thoughts and you're telling people I'm the Antichrist, okay, that's life. It just has to be done. So you got to accept that cost. But at the end of the day, I can't take it personal in that, because really, what did Jesus say when they bring you before and they'll fight with you? But it's not them, it's not you they're fighting with, it's me. And that's the end of the day. There are people, yes, they are focused on Greg Mitchell and they're saying terrible things about Pastor Greg, but they're actually not really fighting with me, is they're fighting with God. So I have to accept that, because people are fighting with God, of course they can surrender, they can be healed. So therefore, I can't talk I can't talk people out of crazy. That just doesn't work. So but then I've had crazy come good. Like, wow, that was crazy. Like, I know, it was mean. but then revelation heals everything. If they have a meeting with God, then God can fix that. So I don't give up on them. What you have to do is you have to learn to live with people or work with people at their level. So this person is mad at me. Okay, I just leave them. I can't fix it, so I'm not going to hate them. I'll smile at you, be nice, even though I know you're talking bad about me, but we'll go on. This person is limping, so I'll encourage you. This person is filled with pride, so I kick your butt. This person is raging on and doing tremendous things, and you gotta work with all that at the same time. And God, give me the wisdom to be nice to the ones who need me to be nice to them, to be judging those who need judgment, to not take it personal, to, all those kinds of things. Right? Somebody else. Ooh, there he is, yep.
So when you're trying to determine timing with the will of God, and sometimes, God will show you usually just like that next step, right?
Well, sometimes timing is circumstantial, but timing, if I think of the timing situations, as somebody asked me the question before about going to South Africa and then numbers of other issues, it's with pastors. My pastor, that's the point. A shepherd is the one who cares for the sheep. So if I have a good relationship with my pastor, he wants what's best for me. So I've had my pastor say, no, not now. No, not at all. Yes, that's God. So I got to do it. I got to have a good relationship. I got to trust in headship that they are caring for me. So even if there's something I don't understand, or is it now? No? Okay. I'll receive that, all the different things. That's one of the ways that God has brought timing to me. Circumstances, of course, work out like that, but of course we can misread circumstances, right? I was offered a job in Timbuktu. It's God. Because otherwise I wouldn't have been offered the job. Yeah, that's not really true. Somebody else. Thinking.
Have you ever had God tell you to do something, or what you felt it was God telling you to do something, and then you went to Pastor Mitchell or your headship, and they said, no, that's not God?
Yeah, on numbers of occasions.
Would the purpose of that be to just check your heart?
Well, sometimes it was because I was stupid, right? When I remember my story when a guy was challenging me about my new converts, they weren't praying, and so I had determined that when I get back from conference, I'm gonna jam the how dare you not pray? And I told Pastor, Pastor, what's the best way to get people to pray? And while we're eating, and he said, how long have they been saved? I said, two, 3 months, some of them. And he looked at me, and with all the love and compassion, he said, don't be stupid. He said, you should be glad they're coming at all. Yeah, so that was my pastor saying no. So there were times, so that's an extreme. There were times when I just had a dumb idea. There were times when I just didn't understand. One of the big issues for guys over time, you begin to learn, is in issues of justice. This guy is not doing right. Why are you not terminating him like today? That's a difficult thing numbers of times, like, Pastor, you need to sort this out. This guy needs to die today. Because in my mind, and I even was, thinking this was love, what about all these other people? He's hurting people. And so I had to learn, no, that's not. And he had, timing. Sometimes people change. Sometimes there's a bigger picture. Sometimes this guy, if we terminate him now, we'll make him a martyr. We got to pray and let God discredit him. We got to, So yeah, lots of things. There's lots of times that I didn't understand, and then later on, you see, he's like, that was brilliant. That was brilliant. I'm sure glad that he didn't listen to me, because it worked out much better. He was much wiser than I was. So yep, I've had lots of times where, in various ways, that. My will was checked, yeah.
I feel like sometimes we can accept God's calling based on whether it's something we're good at, comfortable with, but I know God's had a call to do stuff we're not. So when that happens, do we just have to trust that God is going to use us even if it's not something we're good at?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, whether you're good at it or not, or even if you're good at something but you don't like doing it, those are two different issues, but they're kind of the same. My statement, Nigel, that I say is I've spent my whole life, my whole ministry, doing things that terrify me. All right, that's God. Okay, I got this. All right, I got this. Good. Okay, now, oh, wow, no. Okay, all right, and you finally get comfortable with that, and no, oh, Lord, wait, no. But part of that is always so that I depend on God. Because that's human nature. Once you get comfortable with something, you start like, yeah, thanks God, I got this. And that's never good. Remember that sword drawn thing? Yeah, it's not a good idea. Somebody else. All questions of the universe answered. All right. You can pass those around. Thanks, guys.